really appreciate the hospitality that I've received since being here this week. we've not in the least gone hungry at any time. Some of our number, I thought at times, ate too much. I ain't gonna say who. It could have been me. But I really enjoyed it. And I always enjoy coming here and preaching in the conferences. And it's a real blessing, spiritual uplifting. So I just enjoy any time that the Lord gives me to come here to preach the Word of God. I thought about, I told Brother Titus this morning, and it was a sad occasion or a sad time when the fellow that did what he did, but I said, the devil follows me around. He's hot on my heels. We've had similar things like that to happen at our church. When they were robbing all the churches in our area, one night we had a lady come in. She stood back sort of off on the side, and she never would get to where I could see her. And people began to sense that something was wrong or something was behind them. She fell out in the car, outside in the car, and I thought, you know, they were sort of casing the joint. And what they've been doing is going in and making people take off all their rings and their watches and throw their billfolds in and any of the money, and they would rob the church. So I told the men, I said, well, if they'd come out with a gun, I'd have ducked down behind that pulpit, you know. And but we've got a red alert signal. And what it is, I don't use hand signals or anything because that might be confusing and cause a fellow to get shot. But our code is this. I tell them to turn their Bibles to Hezekiah 35. Now, the problem is some of my people are starting looking it up. Yeah. But anytime that we need red alert around there, I say, turn to Hezekiah 35. And that means everybody goes into action. You know, our plan goes into action. Most of them goes for cover, I imagine. turning your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse 7 through 9. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I want to preach tonight on the subject of some things more precious than gold. Some things more precious than gold. Now, gold is a precious metal. All you men know that. Try to go out and buy you a piece of gold. Many have been willing to give their life for it. A few years ago, in the gold market and the silver market, some became rich during the increase of gold prices. They bought cheap, sold high. But I'll have to say, some did the other. The man that has a lot of it is considered to be rich. They claim it's stored down at Fort Knox. hear me say, they claim. I don't know it's there because I've never seen it. But even the backing of our paper money is supposed to be backed by the gold that is stored there at Fort Knox. But the Word of God tells us of some things more precious than gold. You remember the Apostle Peter was preaching and said in Acts chapter 3 and there in verse 6. And I thought about, and this gives an illustration. There was a man that was expecting to receive something of the Apostle Peter. Then Peter said in verse 6, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now I believe there are some things that are more precious than gold, and also there are some things that cannot be purchased with gold. People say, if I just had this or had that, you know, we all think that every now and then. I told Brother Titus, I said, people, you know, say, if the Lord would just bless me and give me so much, I'd just help everybody. Why don't you do it now? I knew that'd make you get quiet. What are you waiting for? Do it with what God's given you. Because if you won't do it now, you'll never do it. Because the more you get is the greater you become many times. But there are some things that are more precious than gold and cannot be purchased with money. The first thing that I want us to think about that is more precious than gold and cannot be purchased with money is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in verse 18, 19, and 20. Now look here, and I believe Peter brings this out to us. "For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." Gold wouldn't do it. Gold couldn't do it. Gold, as precious as it is, could not purchase your redemption. Could not. There is that which is of higher value and of more precious than gold. What is it? Verse 19. "But with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." So we see here that the Apostle Peter is telling us that the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is worth more than silver and gold. Because silver and gold cannot redeem us. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is worth more than any other man's blood. I tried to emphasize this other night. It is referred to as the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Talk about your blood, and they'll just say the blood of Brother Titus or the blood of Brother Eaton. Or the blood of Brother Harvey. But brother, here they speak of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Meaning no sin. A lamb without blemish and without spot. It is the only blood that washes away sin. It is the only blood that cleanses. Go to Revelation, just over a few pages. Revelation chapter 1 And notice with me there in verse 5. Look and see what he says. And brother, gold won't do this for you. You can have your coffers full of it. You can have it stashed back someplace. But it will not do for you what the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. Revelation 1:5. Now notice. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, notice, unto him that loved us. And that's great. And look. And washed us from our sins in his own blood. I believe we see here that it is only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that washes and cleanses us from our sin. The real and true meaning here is that the blood of Jesus Christ looses us from our sins. There is no more attachment that we have to our sins because of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder, as our pastor said this morning, that John said when he saw Jesus, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." John knew that it was by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that sins were washed away. And he knew by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that every person that was ever saved or ever redeemed, it would be by his precious blood. I believe, brethren, we see that it was foreordained before the foundation of the world. But this same blood propitiates our sins, and that's why that it's precious. When said in 1 John chapter 2, and there in verse 2, "And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." If you look right up a little bit on the page and the verse I used the other night, 1 John 1, 7. Look what it says. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." And look at this. "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." That is the payment of the penalty of our sin. I'm always glad when the Lord sees fit to give me something. I really am. And I'm totally dependent upon the Lord for everything that I have. If it's gold, that's all right. If it's silver, that's all right. I'm thankful for that. And I rejoice in that. And I don't believe there's anything wrong with people having silver and gold. Paul told Timothy, and silver and gold isn't what gets you in trouble. Paul told Timothy, he said, it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. Money's not evil. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. I thought about it, and you know, naturally you'd hear a lot about the hunting because the season's coming in. And I'm an outdoorsman. And several have asked me, "Do you hunt?" Well, certainly I hunt. And I even fish, and I do a lot of other things. But the whole emphasis is there's nothing wrong with hunting, and there's nothing wrong with fishing, and there's nothing wrong with money. It's just when you put that before the Lord, and when you put all of your emphasis upon that, I believe in moderation, as God gives it to us, it can be used to God's glory. And to God's honor, I really believe that we can do that for the glory of God. Brother, with all that he gives to us, none of this is more precious than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of this precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it gives us boldness to enter the holiest of all in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's also through this precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that he purchased his church. And the writer Luke was writing, and he said there in Acts chapter 20 and in verse 28. Listen to what he said. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." known people that, you know, set up their own church. I've known people that hired their preacher. I've known that happening. And many men do that. But the Lord Jesus Christ loved His church. And He purchased it with His own blood. I believe that we see here that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is of more value than silver and gold. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cannot be purchased with silver and with gold. But yet we see there's something else that's more precious than silver and gold. Now look in 1 Peter chapter 2 and notice with me there for the second thing in verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious. Now, I preached other Wednesday night in prayer meeting, preaching through the book of Acts, verse by verse. And I came down to the place as to where the Apostle Paul, there in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 1 through 4, said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." And he goes on and said, "Which also I received." And he said, "How that I first preached to you how that Christ died for our sins, that He was buried, and that He arose again." You meet a lot of religious people today, and I tell you what they want to argue. They want to argue the Word of God with you. They want to argue which church is the right church. They want to argue with you about the doctrines of grace. But let me tell you something. If you'll take them to first things first, if you'll ask them, "Now what about, let's talk about Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And they don't talk about that. A lot of them, there's the test. Because I believe that anybody saved by the grace of God, the most precious person to them that there is the Lord Jesus Christ. And they emphatically talk about Him. They're not embarrassed when you name His name. And they like to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder sometimes in our conversation what it is that we substitute for the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes you'd think by the way that we talk and what we say that there's a lot of things that would be more precious than the Lord Jesus Christ. But look here in this verse 7. "Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious." That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't care how much money you have or how much money you don't have. You always have the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's more precious than any money you'll ever have. Any silver and gold that you'll ever have. "But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." He's the chief cornerstone. He's the stone of God's laying in His counsel, in His covenant, in His promises, in prophecy. The writer of the book of Revelation, even to the elect. The writer of Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8, he says this, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him whose names," that is going to be the Antichrist, "whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." The Lord Jesus Christ is precious both to God and precious to man. He's a wonderful Savior and He's worthy of our attention. Brother, we ought to sing about Him. We ought to pray about Him. We ought to rejoice about Him. We ought to talk about Him. He ought to be not only the theme of the Word of God, but He ought to be the theme of our life. He ought to be the central figure in our life. Every one of us that are children of God. He draws the love of believers to Him. Now, I believe that He's not only the chief cornerstone, but He is precious to the believer. His blood is precious. There's many things about it. His righteousness is precious. We think of His righteousness as fine linen, as clean and white, perfect, everlasting. And in Him we're justified from all things. His sacrifice is precious. Sin's fully expiated and full satisfaction for the divine wrath of God in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. But then we find His Word is precious. You can't separate the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the believers that are saved by the grace of God, not only do they love Jesus Christ, but they love His Word. Brother, these things that I have spoken to you are more precious or of more value than silver and gold. This is worth more to you as a believer than any silver and gold you'll ever have. And that is the Word of God. And this cannot be purchased. It cannot be bought. But then I believe there's something else that we see here that is more precious than gold. Look with me in 2 Peter, and there in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, and in verse 1. It says this, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The third thing is more precious than gold is precious faith. The faith of God's people is a gift of His grace. Anywhere you'll find it, it'll be described as the faith of Jesus Christ. It's His faith. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. And He gives you that faith, and it becomes your faith. But remember where it comes from. It is precious in its object, because Christ is the object of faith. It is conversant with the precious person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is that which sees the precious blood and that which sees the precious righteousness. It's faith that enables us. The precious faith. It is precious in its acts and its usefulness, just enabling us to trust. Isn't it a grand and a glorious thing that we're saved by the grace of God and we can just fully trust the Lord Jesus Christ? Because He is enabling us to by the precious faith that He's given us. Money won't do that for you. Because you know and I know you can have money one day and not have it the next day. Brother, it's just about as perishable as anything that you can ever have. You know, for years in our country we've built seeming like our trust on retirement and all of these things. And you know, many companies today are completely doing away with all of their benefits and all of their retirement. And they're leaving people set flat. They've worked for 30 and 40 and 50 years. And they thought, well, I'm real secure in this place. Nothing had ever happened to me. But what's been happening? And what's taking place? You can't trust silver and gold. It's perishable. But brother, I'll tell you what you can trust, and that is the precious faith that enabled you to trust Him. Without this precious faith, it is impossible to please God. It is an abiding grace, and it'll never fail you. Through all the hard times and circumstances of life, there's always faith. Precious faith that God has given you. But then, if you'll notice, as he said here in this verse 1 of 2 Peter 1:1, look at it again. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Now that means I've got faith and you got the same kind. It means the same kind of faith I have. You have. It's the same faith the apostles had. It's the same as the brethren that dwelt at Jerusalem. It's like precious faith. And I believe that the Holy Spirit, every time He put that word precious there, He put it there that we might recognize it's more precious than silver and gold. It's more precious than anything that we'll have temporal, and it cannot be purchased with money. But then there's some other things that are more precious than gold. Look in the same first chapter of 2 Peter and in verse 4. And look at this. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now what he's talking about here is another thing that is more precious than gold is precious promises. These promises relate to things spiritual and things eternal. They are absolutely free. And they're unconditional. And they're irreversible. And they're unchangeable. What God promises, that's exactly what you have. And that's exactly what God is going to do. Where would we be today without these things that are more precious than gold? And especially when we come down to many times in our life and we go to the promises of God. The precious promises of God are for those that have like precious faith. They answer great ends and purposes for the glory of God and for the everlasting good and the happiness of His people. That's why they're called precious promises. What about the gospel? And the precious promise of being graciously bestowed and powerfully applied. You ever think about the precious promise of the gospel? You'll take the gospel and then God will graciously bestow or apply that gospel. Just the fact of going. I believe that's a great promise. And we find here we have the influence on the purity of heart and conversation as the gospel of the Word of God goes forth. We have that promise. And that promise is given to us. I thought about how many times do we lean on Romans 8:28. Now that's a promise of God. That's a precious promise of God that God has given us. How many times do we lean on other scriptures in the Word of God and the Word of God that teaches men to deny ungodliness and worry less and to live soberly and righteously and godly? These are promises that God gives us in His Word. I believe that we have gospel promises under divine influence. What they do and what this verse is saying here in verse 1 is they make men inwardly partakers of the divine nature. Inwardly. And outwardly to abstain and avoid the prevailing corruptions and the vices of the time. That's what he's saying here in verse 1. Look. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtain light, precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's a promise. That's a precious promise. And brother, we ought to take this to heart and we ought to rejoice in it. Now there's so many promises in the Word of God. Well, let's just notice some that the Lord Jesus Christ made right quickly. Go with me to the 10th chapter of the book of John. I want you to look with me. Now, there's no way that I could begin to even start all of these, but look at John chapter 10. Look in me and look with me in verse 27 down through verse 30. And think about this precious promise. Look what Jesus is saying here. It's what He promises. My sheep hear My voice. And I know them, and they follow Me. Now that's great, but look at this. And I give unto them eternal life. And that's what's promised. God never fails with His promises. Notice. Here's another promise. And they shall never perish. That's God's precious promise. Look. Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. Precious promise. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Precious promise. We know that by heart and we read it. Many times we forget it's a precious promise. And brother, what he's promised us right here in these verses is of more value than silver and gold. You can't put a price on what the Lord Jesus Christ has promised us here. I and my Father are one. I think about, and I mentioned this earlier in the week, but I thought about, there's many, but then what the Lord says to us through His Word and the Apostle Paul when he said in the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews and there in verse 35, and you know, I've used this verse once before, and he said, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said," and here's the promise, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." You can't buy that with silver and gold. You can't purchase that with silver and gold. But it is a precious promise that God has made His people. Sometimes, you know, we can't relate to these things until we have to practically experience them. Sometimes we, and especially in the earlier years of our life, we're surrounded by our kinfolks. We're surrounded by our family. We're surrounded by our friends. Even under those circumstances, there can be times that people can feel so alone. But yet Jesus has made the promise, "I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you." And brother, I tell you, you can't buy that with silver and gold. It cannot be purchased. Look at the promise that Jesus made when he gave this promise in John. And there in chapter 14 of the book of John. And brother, this is a promise. It's one I believe that we ought to take to heart. And we ought to recognize the value of it. John 14:1. Now look, and this is good for all of us. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Now that's Jesus, that's the promise the Lord's made. That promise belongs to me. And it belongs to you. And it all comes back on "let not your heart be troubled." But then he said, "If I go and prepare a place for you," and he's promised that, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now that's a promise. I like the old song, don't you? "Standing on the promise." Are you tonight? Are you really standing on the promises of God? Now I believe, brethren, what we've seen here is that many times this world today, emphasis is placed upon silver and gold. And did you know we can even get caught up in that? And we can get to looking at silver and gold and temporal things and forget about what we really have. How well off that we really are. All of these things that I've mentioned are more precious than gold. That's precious blood, the Lord Jesus Christ, precious faith, and precious promises. Now, these things, none of these that I've mentioned, can be purchased with gold. Some men become very rich with gold and die a pauper toward God. And we look at them sometimes and we say, "I wished I had what they have." And we become covetous. And can't you see how miserable they are? As you say, you talk as one that's foolish or drunken. No, I'm just telling you, I believe there's things more precious than silver and gold. Some men become very rich and die a pauper toward God. Some men are never rich in worldly goods, but they die rich toward God. Now, which of the two had you rather have? Now, the only reason you know this is because you know that there's some things that can't be bought or purchased with silver and gold. And you know there's some things that are more precious than silver and gold. And that is the precious blood, the Lord Jesus Christ, the precious faith that He's given you, and the precious promises that He gives you, that He's given you. I tell you, we're rich toward God. We're rich with the things of God. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall it profit him? I'll tell you what it'll profit him. Nothing. Nothing. Though he has everything this world can offer and die and go to hell, it'll be no profit to him whatsoever. Because even while he's here in all of his riches, the things I've talked about here cannot be bought. And they cannot be purchased. But all of these things are free to those. And are given to those that receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And if you're here tonight and you're saved, you know without a shadow of a doubt that what the Word of God has said to us, that these things the Word of God has brought to our attention, is far more precious than silver and gold. Life is so short. James said it's but a vapor. It appears a little while and it vanisheth away. Seemingly, somehow or other, why is it that when we're in the prime of our youth and all, that we don't come to grips with these truths? Why is it sometimes that we have to wait till later on in years? And even I've seen people that come down to the time of death. And I thought time and time again, you know, last year there's some people that the Lord took home from our church. And I got to thinking about, you know, most of those people spent all of their lives toiling in this life and not really rejoicing in what they had, which was far more precious than silver and gold. And that is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ Himself, that is precious faith and the precious promises God has given. Let us not be guilty of the same thing. But let us learn by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit to praise God for these things. And we do that, I believe, by putting Him first in our life. And by following Him and not letting these things that the world let rule your life and ruin your life. But let the Lord Jesus Christ have the preeminence in your life. And when you do, then you'll agree wholeheartedly, yes, there are some things that are more precious than gold. What good's a man's gold and silver when he comes down to die? Of what value is it to him? What good is it going to do him when he comes down to die? When he comes down to die, if he has the precious blood, if he has the precious faith, if he has the precious promises, he'll be able to die a death that is one that will glorify God. And even his life will have glorified God. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, it may be hard for you to understand. You might say, I didn't know there was anything any more of more value and anything any more important than silver and gold. But there is. And brother, if you're saved tonight, you have received it. These very things I'm speaking about. If you're not saved tonight, pray that the Holy Spirit would enable you, that you might see that you need Jesus Christ more than anything that this world has to offer. We're going to stand and sing a hymn in closing. Brother Titus will be here at the front. In any way the Lord speak in your heart tonight, this church invites you to come as we stand and sing. Brother Larry, what number are we going to stand and sing? 349. 349.